Last week we concluded the blessings of the morning, and now we begin the prayer of the morning, the introduction to the prayer of the morning. Alter Rebbe says that it's appropriate to recite the following line before the prayer. Hareini mekabel alai mitzvahs asei shel v'yahavta l'reicha kamecha. I hereby take upon myself to fulfill the positive commandment to love your fellow Jew like yourself. The source for this is actually from the Arizal. So even though the source is Kabbalistic and the Kabbalah is not for every single Jew, yet Alter Rebbe placed it here in the prayer book, which is written for every Jew, even a Jew who can't even study, let alone Kabbalah. And it's also brought down in the Code of Jewish Law. Alter Rebbe brings down this Code of Jewish Law. There it says in the source that it's appropriate that a person should accept upon himself the mitzvah of love your fellow Jew like yourself. It doesn't say anywhere you have to say it. Alter Rebbe adds that it's a proper and it's appropriate that a person should say it, recite it with your mouth and say the words, I accept upon myself the mitzvah of love your fellow Jew like yourself. So why is that? So the previous Lubavitcher Rebbe writes, you have to go step by step. First there's thought, then there's speech, and then there's action. In the Kabbalah, it says you should think. Alter Rebbe says you should also say it. And then comes the action. What's the action? The action is what we say immediately following it. We say, Matoivo Elecha Yaakov, how goodly are you tensed, Yaakov. Mishkenesecha Yisrael, your dwelling places, O Israel. What does he mean? What's he referring to? This is from the prophecy of Bilam, who wanted to curse the Jewish people instead of ended up praising the Jewish people. So what's his praise? How good are your tents and your dwelling places? The Medrash says it means he was praising the Jewish houses of worship, the Jewish houses of study, the shul, the yeshiva, the Beis HaMedrash. How wonderful where a Jew lives. A Jew lives in the shul. He lives in the house of study. He comes to study the Torah of Hashem, and he comes to daven to Hashem and to speak to Hashem. So Bilam was appreciating and praising the Jewish people. Rashi says that he was praising the tents of the Jewish people because the tents of the Jewish people, when they were camped in the desert, the doors were not facing each other. So the simple reason is because of modesty. They shouldn't see each other. They shouldn't look into another person's tent. So the previous Rebbe explained, you have the way the Jew is at home, and you have the way the Jew is when he's in public, when he's in shul. We reserve our best behavior when we're in shul. When we're in shul, we're in the public, in the Beis HaMedrash, there we put on our best behavior. We have our public persona. Then we come home, we let our hair down. We're not exactly on the same level we are at home as we are in the public. So the mitzvah of love your fellow Jew like yourself is, you should always see the good in the other Jew. Always see them in their best light. So that's what he said, Matoivu Alecha Yaakov, how good are your tents? That we don't look at the Jew, the way when he's at home, how he is at home. We look at the Jew the way how he is in the shul. And even though the shul is our best behavior, but that's how we look at him. We try to find and look and see him in his best light possible. And then we try, out of our love for our fellow Jew, we try to make sure to help the Jew that he should become at home the way he is in shul. To elevate himself, that even at home when he's alone and private, when he lets his hair down, he should also be on the same level as he presents himself in the shul. When the previous Rebbe became bar mitzvah, every Rebbe by his bar mitzvah, his father turned to him and asked him, ask a question. And the question of the Fidik Rebbe by his bar mitzvah, his first initiation into mitzvahs, into bar mitzvah, was why the Alter Rebbe placed this introduction to prayer. Hareini mekabel alai mitzvahs asei shel v'yahavta kamecha. Yes, love your fellow Jews is a very important mitzvah. It's a klal gadol. Rabbi Akiva says it's a great rule in the Torah. But what's it have to do with prayer? My kesher, what's the connection? I'm about to pray to Hashem. Prayer is all about me focusing on myself and focusing inward and working with myself and within myself. So now I'm about to pray and I'm about to talk to Hashem. Why are you bringing me? There's two mitzvahs. There's mitzvah between man and man. And there's mitzvah between man and Hashem. Right now I'm about to pray. I'm getting ready to pray. I'm starting to pray to strengthen, rejuvenate, recharge my connection with Hashem. Why are you introducing now, at this point, at this moment, the mitzvah of love your fellow Jew like yourself? What's the connection? The Rebbe Rashab answered, prayer is a time when you're petitioning Hashem, you're asking Hashem to fulfill all your needs, both materially and spiritually. You're talking to Hashem. He says, what's the greatest nachas? The greatest nachas that children can give to their parents. There's no greater nachas, pride and joy for parents when they see their children get along with each other. When they see that one sibling cares about the other sibling and thinks about the other sibling, cares about the other sibling, inconveniences themselves for the other sibling, they're in heaven. That's their biggest joy and pride. The reverse is also true. God forbid, children don't get along with each other, that's their living hell. All their success, their money means nothing if the children don't get along with each other. When children are there for each other and get along with each other and are selfless and truly, genuinely care for each other, then that gives nachas to the parent. So the Rebbe Rashab says, when you're about to pray to Hashem, you're about to ask Hashem to answer all your needs. So this is the introduction to prayer. When Hashem sees that you really care about another yid, you care, all Jews are brothers and sisters, we're family. When he sees that we all get along with each other, and we're there for each other, and we care for each other, and we love each other, and respect each other, and like each other, and see the good qualities in each other, and do favors for each other, this is when Hashem will answer all our prayers. Then there's nothing Hashem won't do to that person, that individual, who's bringing so much unity of the Jewish family, then Hashem will answer all our prayers. The Rebbe Rashab says, in one of his Maimarim, he says that the reason why this is the introduction to prayer, because prayer is a time when we connect with godliness, with holiness. The ultimate is, by Shema, when you love Hashem with all your heart and all your soul, when you daven, you're standing in front of Hashem. But the entrance, the entree, the opening of holiness is achdus, unity. Hashem echad, Hashem is one. So the sign of holiness is there must be unity. That's the minimum requirement. That's the without that, I'm not even in the door. Before you start prayer, before you start your working your way towards holiness, connection, the first step is there has to be unity. There's love between one Jew and the next, then Hashem says, okay, now you have access to me. Now we can start working and start advancing and moving forward. But if there's no unity, he can't even move forward. He can't even begin. So that's the first thing. Before you start, you have to make sure that there's unity. That's a sign that you have a connection to holiness. If there's no unity, if one Jew is angry at the other Jew, and one Jew doesn't get along with the other Jew, and one Jew doesn't respect the other Jew, and one Jew looks down at the other Jew, you can't even begin. You can't even start. Why are you wasting your time? What are you doing? So before you say the first word of prayer, the first thing you have to establish it, that is unity. Achdus. Adeinu mekabel alai mitzvah sase. Tzemach Tzedek says, Derech Mitzvah Secha, he says, the reason we have to say Adeinu mekabel alai in the beginning, before we start our prayer, is because the Jewish people are like a living organism, one dynamic, holistic organism. Every individual Jew is an individual organ in this organism. It's like the body. The body is a living organism. The body is one. There's no politics in the body. The conservative part of the body and the liberal part of the body, the right and the left, get along very well. There's no politics. Even though each side is even opposite of each other and each organ is unique and different, and yet there's total unity. There's many levels to this unity. There is the way the organism is unified in the mind and the brain, which is the command and control center of the whole organism. That's why all the nerve systems end up in the brain. When you feel pain, the brain feels the pain. The brain feels every part of the body. The organism is unified, and the brain is where it centers, its focus. You feel that unity. So there it's all unified. But even on a deeper level, within each organism, as each organism is separate and apart and unique, all the organs are connected to each other. And that's where you find, in the olden days, they used to do bloodletting. Even today, with acupuncture, right? The energy that flows when you want to heal the ear, whatever, you do something in the leg, and the current, the energy that flows, or the blood, the same blood flows, and you do something in one organ, and it helps and heals the other organ. Because all the organs are connected with each other. Every organ is found within each other. There's the ear and the leg, and the leg and the ear. It's all connected, and that's why the Torah says, love your fellow Jew like yourself, because your fellow Jew is yourself, because we are truly one. We are one living organism, one dynamic organism. Even as we are apart and separate, but nevertheless, we are truly part of something larger, greater than all of us put together. The whole is greater than the sum total of its parts, and we all are connected with each other. So therefore, when I love you, I'm really loving myself. Because there's me inside of you and there's you inside of me. But that's only true if you truly love your fellow Jew like yourself. What if there's no love between you and the other Jew? Then it's as if that Jew, that part of you is missing. Since you've disconnected yourself from your fellow Jew, you've disconnected yourself from that organ, so you are, a part of you is missing. Then you are defective. Prayer is a substitute for the sacrifice. The Torah says you can't offer to Hashem a defective sacrifice. So if you present yourself to Hashem and in your heart there's hatred, disrespect, rancor, anger, tension, friction with one other Jew, then you're defective. Hashem says, throw this animal off my altar. Get out of here. What are you doing? You can't offer yourself, come close to Hashem. You're thrown off. You're thrown away. In order to pray, first, you have to be whole. You have to present yourself as whole, as complete, as a whole sacrifice, as a whole. Well, if you are angry in your heart against a fellow Jew, you're not whole. So the prayer is disqualified from the get-go. So the first thing you have to do is you have to establish Hareini Mekabel Laim Mitzvos Asher Shvavta Rechamot. Now, it's a very interesting analogy. As Alter Rebbe points out in the heart of the Tanya, chapter Lev, Lamed Beis, in the first part of the Tanya, tanyaclass.com, it's a very good analogy. The body is one. We are one living dynamic organism. But on the physical level, the physical arm is separate than from the leg. When your leg hurts, my arm doesn't hurt. I feel the pain in my leg. The brain feels the pain in the leg. My arm doesn't hurt because my arm is a separate organ. The arm, the physical arm, is separate from the physical leg. Yes, we're all one living organism, one dynamic organism, all related, all interconnected. But that's only on the internal level. But the physical arm and the physical leg are separate. Arm is an arm, a leg is a leg. And the proof is when you hurt, when the leg hurts, the hand doesn't hurt. So Alter Rebbe says in chapter 32, if a person is physical, if a person is all about your physical and being corporeal, material, if your whole life is about materialism, then each person is apart, each person is separate. My ego couldn't care less about your ego. So if my life is all about being egotistical and being corporeal and physical and material, I don't feel your pain, I couldn't care less about you, and you don't feel me. And not only that, not only you don't feel each other's pain, but the nature of the world is no two people look alike and no two people think alike. We have our way of thinking. As a matter of fact, I can't stand another person's way of thinking. I think my way of thinking is correct, you know, my way or the highway. And anyone else who thinks differently, because Hashem made him differently, because he looks differently and he thinks differently and he feels differently, I can't tolerate anyone else's thinking. I have to cancel them. This intolerance comes from ego, the body, the physical that separates us. When a person is all about the body, the physical, then what's yours is mine. What's mine is surely mine. When can a person feel, it says in Ethics of Our Fathers, chapter 5, Shalish Allah, what's mine is yours. That's only a person whose neshama is in touch with his neshama. When you're able to crack that shell, that surface, that superficial sense of self and foolish sense of self and foolish sense of arrogance, entitlement. All it takes is put your finger in front of your eyes and it blocks out the whole world, it blocks out anyone else but yourself. You become so narrow-minded and so narrowly focused. The hand only sees the hand. Instead of the hand, there's a leg and there's 248 limbs and we're all one and there's so much. And that's why it's important to say it. It's not enough to think it. Because thinking, I love my fellow Jew like myself, thinking involves your neshama. But your body is not engaged. The problem is, your body doesn't feel that love for your fellow Jew like yourself. Your neshama maybe feels it. But your body is not on the same page. Your body is not with the program. Because on a bodily level, my body and your body, my ego and your ego, I'm a hand, you're a leg, I don't feel your pain. I'm separate, I'm apart, I'm different than you. On a purely physical level, I am separate from you. And that's why it's important to say it. When you say, you move your lips, it's a physical act. You're moving your lips. In other words, you have to love your fellow Jew like yourself. You have to bring it down even on the bodily level. That your ego shouldn't get in the way. And that you should truly feel and love your fellow Jew like yourself. There's three different ways you can love your fellow Jew like yourself. You know, you can love your fellow Jew like yourself because we're Jews. I love all Jews. I'm part of the Jewish people. I'm a proud member of the Jewish people. The Jewish people, we are an eternal people. We are a godly people. We're a holy people. We're one living organism. The whole is greater than the sum total of its parts. It includes every Jew from Avram and Sarah till the end of time. So we're all part of the same people. We're all Jewish. So that you're a Jew and I'm a Jew and I love you, period. But that's a very general love. But then you get a little more specific. I love every Jew as an individual. I love them not only because they're Jewish. Just like in the living organism, in the body, every organ is unique. Every organ contributes something special and unique to the whole. The liver delivers something that only a liver can do. A kidney does what only a kidney can do. And the entire organism is dependent on that kidney being a kidney and on the heart being a heart. And every organ in the body doing its part. So we're all connected and all interrelated and interconnected that we need the unique qualities of each and every individual. So everyone is not just, we're not just monolithic, we're Jewish. And we're all the same. No, even each one of us is also a unique individual. Each one of us brings a flavor to the Jewish experience. There never was a Jew like you, there never will be. If everyone looks differently, if you took all the Jews throughout all the generations, everyone looks differently, thinks differently, processes information, experiences things differently. What Shabbat means to you is not what it means to someone else. It's dynamic, it's fluid, it's real. Everyone is unique and contributes something. So I love each individual, not only because they're Jewish, period. Because they're bringing something special to the Jewish experience and we all learn from each other and we all need each other. So the love of your fellow Jew, A, you have to love them because he's Jewish. Just because they're Jewish and they're godly and they have a godly soul. And we're all connected because we all have a Jewish soul. But in addition, you also have to love them individually. Try to see the good in everyone. Try to reflect on what's unique about them. Like you see a simple person, you love them for the sincerity, how genuine they are, how sincere they are, unselfconscious, there's no guile, there's no ears, they're just real, simple, sincere. You meet someone who's very complex and very brilliant and very talented, you have to love him and you have to have mercy on him also because it says whoever is a greater person has a bigger yetzer hara, has bigger challenges. The person who is very complex and very multi-talented, you know, to find his way in life, it's almost just like a delicate machine. The smallest thing could destroy the whole thing. You know, the space shuttle, because of a 5-cent piece or a quarter, the whole space shuttle blew up because of something that was worth a quarter that was off. So this multi-billion dollar and all the astronauts lost their lives because of that simple, smallest thing went wrong. and the whole thing just blew up. So you meet a person who's talented and brilliant and complex, you have to love him specifically, you have to have rachmanas and also because you realize how difficult it is for that person to get his act together and to come out whole and harmonious and everything should be worked out because it's so complex and so complicated and such a big yetzer hara and things can go wrong, the smallest thing, so delicate that they can be so off, like we see so many intellectuals who are so off. And the more brilliant they are and the more talented they are, the more it's harder to find a wholesome person. That person should be 100% wholesome. Something. So you have to love and feel compassion and love for each individual, not just I love every Jew. They're Jewish, period. That's all I need to know. He's Jewish, I'm Jewish, and I love you because you're Jewish. That's it. Yes. But you also have to get to know the individual as an individual, love them as an individual, and really understand them and love them for who they are and what they are and the circumstances. But even then, I love every Jew because that Jew is adding something to me, adding a flavor, adding a twist, an insight, or something that no one else can see and no one else can experience, can touch upon like that person. So that Jew is making me whole. Without that Jew, I wouldn't be whole. I would be missing something. Without the leg, the kidney is missing something. Every organ in the body is missing something. Without the contribution, the unique contribution of each and every organ, the rest of the organism is missing. But then there is the Jew, every individual Jew, as they are, in the physical form. The hand, the leg, each one is a part. And yet, when every Jew is in their own unique self, and yet we all get along with each other. We all love each other. Because at the end of the day, what is my essence? What is the essence of the kidney? It's not being a kidney. The essence of the kidney is I am part of something larger than all of us put together. It's not about being a kidney. There's one essence. There's one point. There's one living organism that expresses itself in 248 different ways. But it's one essence. There's only one essence that expresses itself in every part of the body in its own unique way. But if they're all expressing one and the same core and essential essence, there's nothing else. And therefore, even when every organ is unique, totally unique, they totally get along with each other. There's absolutely no politics in the human body. Even in between the physical hand and the physical leg, and the physical right hand and the physical left. There's no liberal, there's no conservative, there's no right, there's no left. Because even though they're so different and even opposites and so unique, but the essence is the same. There's one person, there's one essence. It's like the Jewish people are one soul that's divided into 14 million bodies. But it's one soul, it's one essence. So therefore, even our uniqueness, even our individuality, even our what differentiates us, it's all the same essence. So I can truly love you like myself. Literally, like I love myself. Even when you are in all your differentiation, when you're different and unique, and you are you, and I am I, and you think differently, and look differently, and feel differently, and experience things differently, and yet, my love for you is 100%. And that's why it's important to say it, to physically say it, move your lips on the physical level, not just on the metaphysical or spiritual level. Even when every Jew goes about his own unique life, and yet, you love that Jew, literally like you love yourself. Kamoich, literally like you love yourself. And davening is a time when you're working on yourself. It's a very personal, very spiritual moment. You're focusing on yourself. You're turning inward. The ultimate davening, you close your eyes. Even you're davening in shul with a minyan, but everyone is lost in their own prayer. Everyone is talking to Hashem personally and privately and intimately. Everyone is experiencing loving Hashem with all your heart and all your soul. So it's very personal, it's very individual. It's a personal relationship that you have with Hashem that transcends your relationships, your social relations. That's why when we daven, we don't sit with our spouse. Our relationship with Hashem precedes and transcends our social relations. It's very personal. Everyone is lost in their own davening, in their own totally immersed in their relationship with Hashem. And yet, the first step we tell a Jew is you have to love every Jew with all your heart and all your soul. not only a Jew that's on your level. You're on a very high level, obviously. You're davening. You just finished saying the blessings of the davening. You said modani. You washed negavaster. You made blessings. You already started doing such important mitzvahs. You the talis and the tefillin. You're putting on your gartel. You're already starting to daven. You're already on a whole different... You live in a different universe. There could be a Jew who is still asleep, who maybe just woke up. He's so far from connecting and meditating and focusing. And we tell this Jew who's about to daven and to reach the highest levels and achieve and accomplish the greatest spiritual heights, the deepest, deepest levels of meditation and spirituality and godliness and holiness. And we tell this Jew, first thing you have to do is you have to connect with your fellow Jew. Every other Jew. Even a Jew so far away from you, not just physically far away from you, but even as the Baal Shem Tov says, at the end of the world, but even someone who's spiritually at the end of the world, the other end of the world, the other end of the spectrum. The first thing you have to do, you have to connect with that Jew. The whole purpose of creation, the whole purpose of existence is we have to elevate the whole world. And the way to elevate, when you want to elevate, when you want to lift up a building, how do you elevate the building? You got to go underneath. You have to go to the lowest part, underneath the foundations, and lift it up. To lift up a building, you have to lift it up from below. You don't lift it up from the top. You know, you'll separate the top from the bottom. You have to go underneath the building and lift it up from the bottom. So when you're connecting, you want to connect to the highest levels. You want to reach the heavens. First, you got to start. You got to go all the way to the bottom, underneath the foundations, and lift it up from the bottom. You have to connect with each and every Jew. Even a Jew so far at the edge of the world, the end of the world, materially or even spiritually. Now, the question is, how could there be a commandment to love? Love your fellow Jew like yourself. How do you command someone to love? You can command someone to do. But I love or I don't love. If I don't love, commanding me is not going to make me love. I can't pretend that I love if I don't. So the simple level, Rashi says, this is a great rule. In other words, this is the general overarching rule that includes all mitzvah, that includes all the mitzvah between man and man. So this is like a generalization. The Torah is telling you, love your fellow Jew like itself, which expresses itself. Don't take revenge on your fellow Jew. Treat the other Jew respectfully. In other words, it's a practical commandment. Because indeed, you can't command someone to love. How can I command someone to love? But the literal meaning is, no, love your fellow Jew like yourself. You should, means you should love your fellow Jew. Means love. How could you command someone to love? The same question you can ask in the mitzvah to love Hashem. How could there be a commandment to love Hashem? Either you do or you don't. You can't command someone to love. What's the answer? The Rambam says the mitzvah is under reflection. You have to meditate and reflect on the greatness of Hashem, and that's what you can do. And if you focus and meditate on the greatness of Hashem, that will lead you to love. If it does or it doesn't, you did your part. You can't force your heart to love. You do or you don't. But if you focus and concentrate on the greatness and the wisdom of Hashem and the greatness of Hashem, that will lead you to love Hashem, and that's what you could do. That you're responsible of. I can't control my heart. I could control my mind, what I can focus on, what I can concentrate on. And that's the mitzvah. So too over here, the mitzvah, love your fellow Jew like yourself, the mitzvah is to meditate, to reflect. Reflect on what? Reflect on the qualities of your friend. Reflect on the wonderful qualities of your friend. Everyone has good qualities. Now Yom Yom, it says, Reb Zusha found, I think, 8 things, qualities, good qualities you can learn from a ganef. Everyone has good qualities. Everyone has qualities you can learn from. So if you reflect on the good qualities of your friend, that's the mitzvah. That's something you can command. I can't command you to love, but you could control your mind. And if you focus and concentrate and think about and meditate and reflect on all the good qualities of your friend, and everyone has good qualities, you don't even have to dig so deep. Then automatically you'll come to love them. But deeper than that, Chassidus says, just like the love of Hashem, how could there be a mitzvah to love? The answer is you don't have to create that love. The love for Hashem is natural. You're born with it. You already love Hashem. The mitzvah is to reveal that love. That love which is hidden in your subconscious, you should become conscious of that love. The same is with Avos Yisrael. The Torah is not telling us to create something new. If the Torah would be telling us to create a new love, I can't stand the guy. What do you mean, love him? But the Torah is telling us the love is already there because the Jewish people were family. It's like brothers. It's a natural love. It's brothers and sisters. It's a natural love. It's a core love. It's an essential love. And all you have to do is reveal that love. That's something that you can do. That you can be commanded. I just have to reveal the love that's already there. The Torah is telling you one interpretation is you will love. It's inevitable. V'ahavtas Hashem Elokecha, you should love, but v'ahavtas, you will love. Because if the love is already there, inevitably that love will emerge and surface. So too with love your fellow Jew like yourself. You should love, but also you will love because the love is already there. We do love each other. We're there for each other. We care for each other. And in moments of truth, you see it. During the Six-Day War, when they thought, God forbid, there'll be another Holocaust in Israel, they prepared a grave for over 100,000 casualties. The whole Jewish people came together in that moment of truth. There was no right, there was no left, there was no religious, non-religious. The whole Jewish people, that love, that core essential love, just emerged in all its beauty. Because the love is there at all times, at all places. It's just buried, covered up, concealed. So that's the mitzvah. You should awaken that love and reveal the truth that we are all one and we're all connected. So the love of your fellow Jew has to be like a brotherly love, like you love your brother, you love your family. You know, if you discover that you have a brother or a sister you never knew you had, even though they could be your friends, you don't speak the same language, you never saw them in your life, you would feel suddenly so close to them, closer than someone you went to school with all your life, because it's blood, it's my blood, it's my brother, my sister. I just didn't know about him, but it's a core connection. It's not an acquired connection. It's innate. It's inherent.